This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. You're listening to Geek Speak. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com. And 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going great.
Good. So, Matt, I forgot to tell you before the show that I've actually decided that I'm going to retire. Not just from Geek Speak. I've decided I'm planning my retirement. And I'm going to keep working, though, the thing is.
So, uh-huh.
So the idea is that it's retirement is a state of mind.
Yes.
And so when people call me up and say, hey, I need my computer fixed, I'll say, you know, I'm actually retired, but I'll work on your computer, you know, because you're special or, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, they won't call me back the very next day and go, so what's wrong with my computer? You know, if they did, I'd just go, hey, I'm getting to it, man. It's all cool. I'm retired, you know. It's like just take it easy, you know. So, I'm going to start a movement that I think we should all retire, you know. Can you imagine how much less stress there would be in the world if we all just retired?
Yep, just worrying about our Social Security checks and...
Well, you know, that'll come in time too, but I guess all I'm saying is it's really kind of my realization that there's just an awful lot of extra stress that we carry around that we don't really need to, you know.
Completely agree.
So, yeah. So anyway.
So call in with your questions, 963-2976.
Yep. We're just raring to fix some stuff.
Yep. Had a little hiatus.
But I'll be answering those questions a little slower because I'm retired. So, or I'm getting ready to retire. So. Anyway, I think Donna Dalton's going to give us a call here in a little bit.
All right, great.
And so, anyway, I just wanted to make that announcement that nothing, you know, really very little will be changing in my world. I'll just be much more laid back than I was. So,
you're on with the geeks.
Hey, how's it going? It's Donna.
Hey, Donna.
How's it going, Donna?
It's going great.
You get back to Florida okay?
I did. I missed doing the show, but, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe next year if you're not retired.
I'll still be working, but I will be retired.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
I have a good question for you guys.
Okay.
That you, I don't know what you're planning on talking about today, but, you know, I've had this iPhone 6S now for, I don't know, a couple of years, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's time for me to get a new phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not kept up with what's the latest phones and what are people liking. It seems like a lot of people, their phones are obviously bigger. And then also, you know, I have Verizon, but I'm thinking of, I'm certainly don't have a contract and can certainly change phone services as well. So do you guys have any ideas about those kinds of things?
Well, let's see. One thing I was going to say is that I had one of my first experiences with an iPhone X the other day. Have you worked with one of those before?
I have not.
So they went and made it, they took away the home button. Now it's just like an Android.
That's funny.
So I'm like, what's the difference? So, because I like my home button. I'm going to be really sad when I won't be able to get a phone with a home button on it. You know, I just want the, what can I say, you know?
Now you're sounding retired.
Remember that feature that from 20 years ago? I want that back.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I get like a software program that will give me my home button back?
God.
Like a home button emulator, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so it kind of was like a little bit of a jackass for a minute, sitting there going, okay, I'm going to act like I really know what I'm doing here, and finally I'm like, okay, where's the home button?
That's funny.
Yeah, so anyway, so if you like the home button, don't get one of those. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
So I've got a 7 Plus, and I really like it. You know, I don't know if you can even get those anymore, but so it's what's the service like down there? Have you been getting pretty good cell service?
I do get service. It's, you know, it's like regular, I'm not in Orlando or anything like that, but just being in Melbourne, this service is certainly good enough. Yeah, good.
Got it.
But I have Verizon. I assume AT&T is just as good. And then I see other things, you know, like Sprint. Now that I'm not traveling for work anymore, I might even be able to go with something cheaper like Sprint or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to say, I actually, in doing my show prep, came across an article that T-Mobile's rolling out a new, what everybody is calling the, going to be the most affordable cell phone plan that you can get. And not that I'm here to promote them, but since I wouldn't ever recommend it to somebody here in the Valley, because, you know, T-Mobile coverage is like up here.
Right.
But it may be something you might want to look into. So it's a...
And I'm sure that my Verizon iPhone, if I did switch to something like T-Mobile or Sprint, unless I unlock it or something, I don't think I can use it, correct?
Do you know, Matt?
Let's see here. I'd have to go, because I think those are GSM phones, so Verizon.
CDMA.
Verizon is CDMA, and I think Sprint and T-Mobile are GSM. So the technology and the frequencies are a little different.
Yeah.
Right.
But you know what I've noticed is, like my last phone that I bought, I added a second phone with Sprint, because I found out that Sprint has almost wall-to-wall coverage from one end of the valley to the other. And now it's not like smoking fast data, but as far as just making phone calls goes, I can dial somebody in Glenwood and I can talk to them all the way until Aspen Village.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Without the call dropping. And yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think what we need to have is, I know they have these, family plans. Do they have friend plans too? You know, where I could just get a service and then, you know, share a service with somebody else, like a friend, not a family member.
You know, they probably do. You could probably just change your name and make it work. I'm just
yeah, I mean, you know what I mean. Like, we should invent like an app that can do that. That can, it's like ride sharing. You know, they're coming out with this car sharing service. We might as well do, you know, phone sharing, except the only problem is one person might use all the data.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say is that Sprint, I was able to get an iPhone 6, Sprint-compatible iPhone 6, a refurbished iPhone 6, and I think it's $9 a month is the monthly payment I pay on it, you know?
Oh, okay.
And then the service is a lot cheaper. I think the total cost of my service with Sprint is $65 a month.
Well,
so, you know, anyway, just saying. So, yeah.
Anything new on the Android phone front?
Well, you know, that's funny you should ask, because Matt was just saying that he's like about ready to switch over to the Evil Empire, which in his case means he's going to switch to an iPhone. So,
oh wow,
we'll let him elucidate on that subject.
Yeah, I think in the meantime, I'll listen in. Meantime, you know, my iPhone 6 is just fine. So
yeah,
I think I'll just keep using that.
Yeah, I like the 6 in my car. It's a rock. I mean, it sits there in my console and gets great coverage, and it's just plugged in all the time and just works. So,
well, good.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, listen. I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thanks so
all
much,
right.
You guys.
Take care, Donna.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. 963-2976. Call in with your questions, bonfications.
We're here to answer all of your questions. All of your questions.
All of them.
So if you want to know anything about the new Broncos quarterback, we got the answers about that too. Have you been setting up about that, Matt?
You know, I caught just a little bit of it on the news the other day at my parents' place, and that's been about the end of it. I was like, well, maybe I should see if I can find a reasonable way to connect that on my Roku.
Connect what?
The preseason games.
Got it. Okay, got it.
Consume the content.
Yeah. All right. I've had to Google his name like 3 times. I can't remember. I think I got it finally. It's Case Keenum is his name. So Yeah.
All right.
You know the Broncos have a, what is it, a 30-1 chance of winning the Super Bowl? They, like, I came across the odds yesterday that basically they basically rank every team. And so if I'm trying to remember who it was. That came
so is that 30 out of 32?
No, no, that's the odds, that's 30-1. Like, you know, so if there's certain, I guess odds makers or bet makers that would allow you to make a bet right yeah. now and say, yeah. I think the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, you give them $30, they'll give you $900 if they win the Super Bowl. So anyway.
There, so there's that.
Yes, exactly. So these are just the wonders of the internet. These are things that you can do on mm-hmm. the internet. And so let's see. We were talking about there's a new iOS update coming out.
And you said that goes pretty far back.
Yeah, they're saying that it'll go all the way back to an iPhone 5. I don't know, though. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who have suffered real performance problems with the iOS 11. But they're basically saying if your device supports 11, you can update to 12. So, so that's pretty much if your phone, your iDevice, iPad, or iPhone is on iOS 11, then you are eligible for the new update. So, hopefully, it doesn't disable the home button.
Mm-hmm.
So, to get you ready to upgrade. So there's that, and let's see. You were saying that you're not super fond of artificial intelligence, right?
It's a very interesting set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm I haven't thought about it a lot recently, but mm-hmm. There's a lot of moral and ethical things we have to think about as we. Come into this because there's a potential for us to be left behind or any science fiction movie you can think of that yeah. has that outcome.
So wouldn't you think that there's this whole the law of what do they call it, the law of robotics or
Isaac Asimov's?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So that we have this whole list of things that that a robot shall not do to men. But don't you think they should have one that goes the other direction? I mean, it's like, because this artificial intelligence is getting smarter and smarter. It's like, don't we run the risk at a certain point of like upsetting or hurting the feelings of our artificial intelligence?
Well, I was wondering if we should build certain aspects of human psyche into the AI once mm-hmm. it gets to that point where it's advanced enough to be able to comprehend some of those functions. I mean, mm-hmm. they're empathy yeah. and attachment and all those kinds of things as safeguards to the other outcomes.
So I suppose you could have like a set of Freudian chips in there. You like have an id, an ego, and a superego. And it's just like, I think the ego chip is gone, is like needs to be replaced or something, right?
Yeah. When your robot's acting up, it's like, oh, your ego, yeah. your ego shit.
Or we're going to downgrade your ego. Right.
Right.
we're going to take you down to, I don't know, who's one of the most humble people, Bob Newhart, get some self-deprecating humor in there. So, nice. Yep. So yeah, anyway, Amazon has confirmed that a new feature is coming to Alexa devices, and basically Alexa will now remember if it has not been able to answer a question for you, and it will, once it does figure out the answer to the question, it will notify you that it is now. So I could very easily say, like you say, Alexa, who's going to win the Super Bowl this year? And on February 1st, Alexa comes back and says, oh, yeah, the Minnesota Vikings is going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Or won the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Well, that'd be kind of I'm just thinking, you ask some question and move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, then all of a sudden, months, years or multiple years later, you still have the Alexa service on that account,
mm-hmm.
and Alexa all of a sudden goes, oh, remember this question you asked in 2018? It's now 5 years past.
Yeah.
I finally have an answer for that.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Well, you know,
kind of strikes me as kind of funny.
I could see all kinds of problems with it because, you know, what if you're a single guy and, you know, you're like hanging out with your homies on a Friday night and you're, you know, drinking a bunch of, you know, microbrew and you like start asking Alexa off-colored questions, you know, and Alexa doesn't know the answer. Well, you know, roll the clock forward a couple years and you're now married and you got kids and Alexa comes up and says, you know,
answers your off-color question.
Says, oh, by the way, I know the answer to your question, blank. And bleep, and your bleep, kids bleep. Are sitting there like, Daddy, what's a blank? You know? So, I mean, how much trouble could that
cause? So we need a web interface so you can see what questions you've asked that are unanswerable.
You manage the questions that are in the queue.
Yep. Yeah. I definitely need a queue management feature.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if the people that developed this technology even thought of these possibilities, you know, because... Maybe it's just part of my psyche. It's like I do spend a certain amount of time sitting around thinking about, you know, when some new technological idea is pitched, it's like, what could possibly go wrong with that?
Yeah. How can I use it? How can I misuse it?
Yeah.
And how can it go badly?
Or how can it abuse me?
Yes. You know?
So how could it result in a disastrous end of my marriage? You know? So anyway, we still got a little bit of time, almost 10 minutes, 970-963-2976. A lot of you listeners have probably figured out that I've become semi-retired from GeekSpeak. I'm here once a month, and so this is your big chance. If you got a question that you think only I could answer or only I could give you a dumb answer to, now would be a time to call. We are not going to be doing Geek Speak on Labor Day weekend, I guess, is my understanding. And I will be making a special surprise, not so surprising appearance on the third Monday of September so that I can maintain my standing, whatever that means. So anyway, you got any articles on there, Matt, you want to share with us?
Well, so I've been watching AMD closely for the last couple of years. And
okay, that's American Micro Devices, the maker of processors and graphics chips.
Graphics
right?
cards.
And
so
chipsets, basically. Chipsets that run computers.
Yep, and they do a bunch of other chip-related items. But you know, they're kind of a competitor to Intel in the desktop space.
Okay.
They're a competitor to NVIDIA in the graphics card space, and then they do some low power stuff that is fairly interesting if you're into that kind of thing. But they've been working on their Threadripper, their Ryzen cores that came out a couple years ago. I was considering building a new box, but a new tower.
You said 32 cores on this thing?
So this beast, so Threadripper 2, which is their high-end gaming processors. The top end specification for it is 32 cores, 64 virtual cores, and 4.2 gigahertz on the speed there.
Wow.
So just a monstrous desktop powerhouse.
Wow. So I mean, if you're a gamer, so say you're like in the gaming universe and you're online and you're gaming against people, and you just, you know, you've got one of these, you know, monster Threadripper, you know, processors, and you just keep winning, you know. I mean, at a certain point, doesn't that kind of like...
But the winning looks prettier. That's the, you know, the graphics, the physics are better because it has the processing. It doesn't have to make as many assumptions when it's running the system. So the physics from your perspective are better. The the graphics to a lesser extent, but
your virtual lightsaber cuts much cleaner. You know,
yeah,
not nearly as much gore.
So, or for example, if you do flight simulation, something like X-Plane 11, it'll use all of these cores. A lot of games will maybe make use of 6 to 8 cores currently, but certain ones will just say, oh, it'll just go, okay, I'm going to use your entire computer to, you know, calculate the aerodynamic lift of your wing in the video game.
Okay, got it.
So you can run a better simulation.
Because it seems to me like if you were like doing a, you know, what is it? I can't remember. Basically where you're battling somebody, you know, it's
like a death match.
And it's a matter of which person's computer responds to a mouse click faster, you know. I mean, isn't the 32 core Threadripper going to, isn't your Vorpal blade going to go snicker snack just that much faster? I mean, when you click the mouse button,
it has more resources available. I mean, you're talking about probably millions, if not billions of a second.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's all it takes when you're talking about a,
but you're also,
a
you know,
Vorpal blade coming to your jugular, you know?
Right.
It's
so, I was going to use it for, I was like, this looks like it'd be excellent for general computing for, you know, what I do. Okay. I don't know if I'd go 32 cores, but they have a 16.
Okay. Nice. You know, I'll tell you the truth. I think I've got a, I still got a, like a pretty high-ended quad core, and I haven't used them all yet. You know, it's, I mean, and I'm using it for audio production,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've recorded like up to, you know, 10 or 12 instruments at a time. And
well, and you're, no, but it's probably
no,
doing
no smoke.
Are also, you doing, you're so. Doing, going through a DSP to wave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not very processor intensive. That's more.
Oh,
IO.
You just ruined it for me.
Sorry, man.
I thought it was really processor. What format should I use if I wanted to be processor intensive? You know, if I want to
try something, you know, something a little goofy like Ogg Vorbis or something.
Okay. There you go.
If
just, just the name is complicated.
Yeah.
So, okay. I'll try that. But, you know, so far, no problemas.
And, yeah.
But, you know, the solid state drive that I'm recording to really helps as well.
Oh, yeah. So.
Looks like we got a call here.
You're on with the Geeks.
Yeah, hey, you were talking about song processing. I'm wondering what's the best way to overlay two different soundtracks, like an audience recording over a soundboard recording.
Well, do you have any audio processing software yet at this point?
Yeah, I've got, I'm trying to remember, Audacity.
Okay.
On the computer
right
now. Will
yeah.
That do it?
Oh yeah, that'll definitely do it. You just basically open up a project file and specify two tracks, and then go up and import your you know, whatever types of files it is into the two different tracks, and then you can go in and mix it down or you know, reduce the volume on one or the other, and put in sound curves and all kinds of stuff. So you can
What if they're recorded maybe at a different speed, slightly off one from the other?
It does. There are some pitch correction tools in there, but I haven't played with those very much, so I'm not sure.
I think he's maybe. Okay. Are you talking about? Is this like a live musical performance? And you've got okay, and the audio or the audience track is of the same performance, but it's running at a slightly different speed.
Correct.
So okay, so there's a little bit of the audio in the audience track, and you want to make sure that it's synced up to the other one. I can tell you right now, it's going to be it'll be a bit of a task. You know, but it's doable. And do you know if the pitch has been altered on the audience track? Is it different? Is the pitch different than the performance track?
You know, it's really hard to say. I haven't compared them totally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As you just listen to them, they sound just fine.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But as you listen to the recordings, they diverge where the synchronization changes. So, like, maybe the audience track gets, you know, a quarter of a second or half a second behind the other track during the length of the performance, or...
You know, I haven't actually metered them out. I still have them all in raw form. So
got it.
I have the whole show in one track
and
two different sources.
Got it. Yeah, so what I would do, the feature in Audacity that you want to use first is you want to get things lined up time-wise. And so you're going to use the feature called time stretching first. And then if you notice a disparity, like kind of a tinniness, between the, you know, in the pitches, then you're going to want to like start applying a little bit of pitch correction. And, you know, I would say you'd probably want to do that to the audience track as well. The more you fidget around with the audience track, the more artifacts it's going to get, start getting a little bit robotic and, you know, kind of alien sounding.
Yeah.
But go ahead and I would tweak that one because it's the less important of the two tracks, you know, than the performance.
Yeah, and then you can bury it in the other one a little bit.
Yeah. Or you can just order some, like, just find some stock audience sound on the internet and just lay it in there and loop it.
No. This has actually got full music in the audience.
I get you.
Open mic and soundboard.
Yep. All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling. We got to go, but we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Yeah. Bye.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McPrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt. We'll see you guys in a few weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.